Well, praise the Lord. What a blessing it's already been just being in this place, and what a blessing it's been being ministered to by song and the messages of song. And now it's opportunity to open up our Bibles and study the Word of God. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Philippians in chapter 4, Philippians in chapter 4, we're going to be reading verse 10 down to verse 13. Philippians chapter 4. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, the Bible says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me haveth flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, we love you, Lord, and thank you for loving us. Thank you for every opportunity that you make available to us just to draw closer to you, especially on Sunday, the Lord's Day, that you've instructed us to assemble ourselves together. I just pray for all that have come through the doors of this church, God, and you know exactly what's taken place in their lives and you know what they have need of. I pray, God, that they would be open and receptive to that. And I pray that you would use me once again to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, here in verse 11, in the last three words, to be content. I'm going to preach to you a message this morning on to be content. Paul's epistle to this church in Philippi was one of excitement. It was one of joy. If you would read the book of Philippians, you'll find that it is known as the believer's joy. Paul mentions joy or rejoicing 16 times in this short letter that he wrote. And even though Paul wrote this to be an encouragement for the people of the church to be able to rejoice, he himself was in prison. This is known as one of Paul's prison epistles. Means that while he was in the dungeon, cold, dark, it would not have been like our jails today. Been in a cold, dark dungeon, possibly after he had been beaten. He, with very little light, writes this letter of encouragement, of joy, and rejoicing to the church. God, it's God's word. He was led by the Holy Spirit of God and wrote exactly as he was inspired because God knew that he would preserve it for this New Testament church age as part of the New Testament scriptures. Paul had learned something that all of us need to learn, that it is the will of God to be content. Can I tell you, to be content as a child of God is nothing new. We find it in the Old Testament as well. If you remember Daniel, as he was praying, and he knew that if he would continue to pray as he had before, that he would be placed in the lion's den. And for all practical reasons, he would have been devoured, eaten by hungry lions. But he prayed. And in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 22, he writes, God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths. He was content to go into the lion's den, for he knew that God was able to close the mouths of the lions. The three Hebrew children would not bow to false gods, and they were to be put in a fiery, burning furnace. And they would write in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 17 and 18, "Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods." They were content to live for God, the Creator God, not bow down to other gods with the threat of being thrown into a burning fiery furnace. To be content. The definition of biblical contentment is having a mind at peace so as to not complain or covet. You haven't learned to be content if you're complaining. You want to know if you're content with what you have, if you're content with your marriage. Are you thankful for your marriage? Are you content with your life? Or have you been thanking God for your life? Have you been thanking God for this and for that and for all things? For it's the will of God that we be thankful. And if we're not thanking God, can I tell you, you're not content. And if you're not content, you're going to find yourself coveting what others have. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 5, it says this, "Let your conversations be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have." If you're not being thankful, if you're not content with such things as you have, you're going to find yourself coveting. Definition: having a mind at peace so as to not complain or covet. Can I tell you that to be content is God's will for all believers? If you're saved here this morning, can I tell you that God wants you to be content? No matter what the circumstances, no matter what situation you find yourself in, we are to have a peace of mind so as to not complain and to not covet. Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 12, Paul says, "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere in all things." Look right here. "Everywhere and in all things I am instructed." I am instructed. You see, Paul was instructed on how to live as a Christian by the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, and during that apostolic age, that meant that as an apostle, he actually spoke the very words of God. They did not have the completion of the New Testament scriptures. And so Jesus met with the apostles and he met with Paul in a very different type of way. But he met with all of those New Testament church age apostles and he instructed them on his will for the New Testament church age. And he instructed them on the church. He instructed them on Christian living. And instructing them, they were to go out and God would put his hand upon them and they would speak the very words of God. And during that apostolic age, the New Testament scriptures were completed. And when that which was complete, was perfect, was fulfilled, that which was in part would be done away with. And now after that New Testament and church apostolic age, now the scriptures were completed and we have the perfect word of God. There's no need to speak in tongues. There's no need to have somebody else tell you what the word of God says. For you can have a copy of the scriptures and you can look for yourself, and then you want to find a church where they are preaching the word of God. He was an apostle. He was instructed by the Lord Jesus himself on how to live the Christian life. And part of living the Christian life is to be content. 1 Timothy, look over there with me. 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, gives us some insight about this contentment as well. In verse 6, he says this, but godliness with contentment. Both of these are the will of God for the New Testament church age, for all believers. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. We can send some things ahead for us, amen? Like those crowns and the blessings, things that will make a difference in heaven. We can send those ahead, but you can't carry anything out with you. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. No doubt as you study the scriptures, you understand, we need to understand that not only the definition of it, but we need to understand it is God's will for every born-again believer to live with this idea of godliness and contentment. And when you do, it is great gain. And we can be assured that if contentment and godliness bring great gain, then ungodliness and discontentment will bring great loss. Because you're not going to learn to be thankful. And you're not going to rejoice in the Lord. And you're always going to be wanting something that you can't have. Be content. To be content in our possessions. Are you thankful for what you have? The Bible says, but they that will be rich fall into temptations and a snare. They that will be rich, and you're looking in this world and you want everything the world has and you're wanting the riches of this world, and the Bible says you're not going to have the great gain, you're not going to have the contentment, and because it's not going to be godly if that's what you're living for. And he says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. While some coveted after, you're not content, you'll find yourself coveting. And while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Wow. That's powerful stuff right there. Being thankful for our possessions. That's not saying that I can't have any more. That's not saying that that means that I cannot be thankful for more possessions. And can I tell you that I want all that God wants me to have? I find that that's, if I'm not content, then I don't have all that God wants me to have. I don't have enough faith. I don't have enough trust. I'm not thankful enough. If I don't have all that God wants, but God wants me to have faith, great faith. He wants me to have trust. He wants me to be thankful. If I don't have that, I can't be content. I want all that God wants me to have. I really do. I'm not going to have a love for money. I have a love for God. And whatever God gives me, can I tell you, if it's a little or if it's a lot, I'm going to be thankful. Because that's what Paul said, I've learned. Have little or lot. No matter what, that's not going to control my joy. That's not going to control my happiness. Because no matter what it is, in whatever my lot in life and whatever God's purpose is for whatever thing I'm going through, whatever dispensation of time, whatever temporary trial I might be in, no matter what is going on in my life, I am going to be content. It's the will of God. Are we content with our relationships? We're living in a day and age where we're throwing away relationships that God wants you to hold on to for life. And it's all because of this idea of not thankful for what you have, not learning to be content. See, in relationships, I need to accept where they're at and ask God to help me to get them to where they need to be. Don't throw them away. Especially if it's a marital relationship, and God's will in that marital relationship is till death do you part. And the world is saying just discard that and find somebody else. And when you do that, you're going to find some of the very same problems with the next individual. And the world's going to say, well, discard them and find somebody else. And before you know it, your heart is being pierced. And you've done it to yourself. Because you haven't followed the Lord's lead in learning to be content and understanding it might not be where God wants it to be, but it is where it is. And you need to be content in all things, and you need to say, God, this is where it's at. I'm going to be aware. This is where it's at. I know it's not where you want it. It's not where I want it. I'm thankful that it's where it's at. Help me to get it now to where it needs to be. But be thankful. Look to Him. Are we content with life? Some people are not content with their stature. The Bible says, can you add any length to your stature? That means height. Some people are short. And they're never content with being short. And you know, they'll wear shoes thinking no one notices there's a 4-inch platform underneath them. It shows their insecurity. It shows that they're not thankful for what they have. Can I tell you, if you stop for a minute and think about it, if you're short, then you have more room on airplanes than anyone else. You can drive an economy car and luxury because you can't fit into a luxury car. You can't reach the pedals. Yeah, I'm just saying. You'll find yourself happier if you'll just accept what you can't control and thank God for your stature. Because for whatever reason, that's how God made you. To be content. It's God's will, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter where you're at in your relationships, no matter where you're at in your possessions, no matter where you're at in your stature, just learn it's God's will to be content. Yeah. It must be learned. Now, I understand the definition of it. Praise the Lord for that. I need to understand that definition, having a mind at peace so as to not complain. Do you find yourself always complaining? Instead of looking at the good, you're looking at the bad. Instead of looking at what you do have, you're looking at what you don't have. You're not living and you don't have the joy of the Lord, and you're not rejoicing because haven't learned to be content. Are you always wanting what somebody else has? And feel like possibly God doesn't love me because if He loved me, He would give me what somebody else has. Always feeling like that you've been shortchanged. And in doing that, you're coveting. Wow. You've not learned to be content. If you're not content, you will covet. Paul said, not only to be content, he said he learned Philippians chapter 4. Go back there with me. Philippians in chapter 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want. For I have learned. I don't want what everybody else has. I'm not thinking myself to be abused by God. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state. That means whatsoever state, whatsoever life that you're living right, wherever you're at in life, whatever your stature, whatever your possessions, whatever your relationships at, no matter where you're at, what's going on, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith, no matter where it's at, that's where it's at. And the most important thing that I can do when I'm looking at where I'm at is to learn to be content where I'm at. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. So he learned to know how. Did you get that? I learned, and as I've learned, I know how. In order to learn and to know how, that means that he didn't always have it. He wasn't born with contentment. Some people say, well, just certain people have it. They just have that disposition. They have the mindset, and they can be content living in a shoebox. That's just how they were born. And can I tell you, no. Anyone who is content has learned how to be content. Didn't always have it. At some point, he chose to learn how. If it's God's will for your life, and it is God's will for your life, then you need to choose to be content. Paul would turn to something that brings contentment, and that is faith and knowledge. Faith and knowing who God is and what God's able to do. Faith and knowing that God is in control of all things and God wants to be a blessing. God wants us to be blessed, and God wants us to have this peace that passes all understanding. God wants us to have joy and rejoice. It is something to understand. My faith is to know who God is and have the knowledge of how to do it, how to get there. There is a biblical principle and verse for any and all circumstances of life. No matter what you're facing today, no matter what is trying to take away your contentment, no matter what, it's illness, it's physical pain and suffering, it's relationships, it's financial need, no matter what's going on in your life, can I tell you that there is a biblical principle and there is a Bible, at least a Bible verse, that if you would seek out, you will be able to find it, and that would bring to you this ability to be thankful and to be content with such things in such places that you are. Paul is in prison. And he's writing the book of Philippians, a letter to the church of Philippi, and he's saying, rejoice. Yeah. Because he learned. No matter what my circumstances, God's will is for me to conquer my circumstances and to be content. When he committed his life to Christ, it opened the door for contentment. As he would say in Philippians in chapter 3, just looking at what he wrote, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the same for us today. It's been the same for believers for 2,000 years. It's the same. Once you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have what you need to be content. If you'll focus on, I press toward the mark, no matter where you're at, no matter what your circumstances, I press toward the mark. He's in prison. He's in a cold, dark dungeon alone. I press toward the mark for the prize. This is not all there is to life. This is just something I'm going through right now. This is just circumstantial. This is something that God has a purpose and a plan. It's not how I'm going to live the rest of my life. It's just where I'm at right now. And I'm going to press toward the mark. I know there's a prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, my Lord and Savior. That's the same. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what's going on in your life. I can tell you that is where you need to get yourself. Yeah. That's how you're going to conquer your circumstances. Look on down to verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven. Who are you conversing with down there in prison in that dungeon, Paul? I guarantee you no one, probably no man was there. He was in this dark dungeon by himself. But he says, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This world is not all there is. I can have spiritual help if I look for it. I trust that you're in church this morning because you decided I need spiritual help. And I know that if I go to a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, there is going to be spiritual help available to me. And we pray all week long, the leadership of this church, and I believe the membership of this church, we pray all week long that God would make this place a place of refuge. So when people come through the doors of this church, whether it's a member or a visitor, they're going to sense something different. They're going to sense the presence of God in this place. We're not trying to mimic the world. And when they hear the music in this place, it's going to sound like heavenly music. It's not going to sound like the world's music. And when you sit there and hear somebody stand up here and yell and scream and preach, you know he's going to be preaching what the Bible says. And we do that because we know that's what people need. You're not going to find the help that you're looking for in the flesh. You're not going to find the help you're looking for in the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. You're going to find it by understanding there is spiritual help available to anyone who wants it. For God is a rewarder of all of those who diligently seek Him. He's going to be found in and through His church. He's going to be found in and through His love letter to you and me. Yeah. For our conversations in heaven. He was looking for the spiritual help in some of the darkest days of his life. Yeah. Chapter 4 and verse 4. He would write, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Amen. I can always rejoice if I think about the right things. Old-time preacher that I used to really enjoy listening to, he said, you know, when this devil's coming at him the hardest, when he feels the oppression and all this life's troubles and worries are coming upon him, it's more than he can handle. He said he would get out a recording that he recorded of his grandchildren laughing. And he said when he just listened to his grandchildren laughing, it changed his mind. It changed what he was thinking about. And that brought joy and rejoicing. What are you allowing to impact your mind? What do you keep in your head? What do you keep? It's your brain. It's your mind. Satan can suggest things and the world can try to influence it, but ultimately your mind is controlled by your spirit. Your spirit has to dictate and to determine what you keep on your mind. And what you choose to keep on your mind will impact how you feel. Whether you're content or not. Whether you're thankful or not. Whether you're coveting or not. We choose. Paul said, I rejoice in the Lord. No matter what else I'm going through, whenever it gets tough, especially the tougher it is, always, and again I say, I got to remind myself, rejoice in the Lord. You're saved. Heaven is your ultimate place of eternity. You have an indwelling Holy Spirit. He's there. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You have the answers to your questions. You just have to tell yourself, rejoice in the Lord. Verse 6 and 7, this is all of it's right here. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And here it is, the peace. This peace comes with contentment. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through by way of Christ Jesus. I can always pray. Did you realize that? Believer, no matter how hard it is, no matter what's going on, you can always pray. God has given us that privilege. God has given us this tool that when you understand what prayer is a communication line between you and the Heavenly Father. And we go through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the power of His indwelling Spirit. You just stop and think about that. My goodness. How could you not shout for joy? Yeah. And then he brings it down to the last verse, which I love. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. To learn to be content. You see, to me, sometimes my circumstances might be overwhelming. If it was just me dealing with my circumstances, we lost our 2 grandchildren before they had a chance to live life. They lived long enough to issue a birth certificate, twin boys, and then had to turn around and they issued us a death certificate. Wow. That's more than I could handle on my own. That was more than my daughter and her son could handle on their own. It's more than my wife could handle on her own. Might be overwhelming. If we didn't know that God was real and His promises are true. Think about it. If you were God, how would they seem? Your circumstances of life right now, think about it. If you were God, how overwhelming would they seem? If I were God, the creator of all things, be a piece of cake. I could raise the dead. I can make manna grow in the wilderness. If I were God, I could do all things. Those circumstances would mean nothing. In Christ, you have the power of God. Stop looking at it as if it's all you handling it. And start looking at it through the eyes of the one that's truly in control. Amen. Then you can rejoice. You might have a tear or two. You might feel the loss. But you can rejoice in knowing God had a better plan. Yeah. I'm looking forward to what that better plan, and we've already experienced some of it right now. Because if they had not been taken, then we would not have the twin grandchildren that we have now that brings so much joy into our lives. Not that we're replacing them. I'm not doing that. But they wouldn't be here. They wouldn't be here. But they are here. Amen. It's what I choose to keep on my mind. It's how I perceive things. I look to God and I understand who He is, and I look to Him for the strength to get me to just say, thank you, Lord. I'll rejoice in you no matter what. God and His Word is our source of contentment. If it's God's will, and it is, I can learn to be content. If you've not learned it as of yet, choose today. Choose today to learn to be content through Jesus Christ. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not saved, you will not be able to find contentment in tragedies and circumstances of life. You can't. But if you're saved, you can. Because we can do all things. Whatever God's will is, you can do it. Be content. You can be content. You can learn how to, if you choose to be content. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you for the truths of your word. Thank you for the testimony of the Apostle Paul and how even in a dungeon, a cold, dark, dreary dungeon, he would write this prison epistle to this church to cause them to rejoice in the Lord. I pray that you'd help us to rejoice. Help each one here that's seeking your help. For this we pray in Jesus' name.